This won't mean it's divorce, huh?
Okay, it is recording. So, okay, so I'm supposed to say my name is Eleanor Weber. I am 16 years old. Today is November 27th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Jerry Furlong and Candace Furlong, who are my grandparents, and we are in Sacramento, California. So to start off, we are going, I don't know why this is the first question, but if you could hold on to one memory from your life forever, what would it be? And it can be either one of you.
I think the memory that I'd hold on to forever is seeing my first grandchild born. It was one of the most emotional moments I'd ever seen, because I'd never seen a baby born. And to be there at that moment was shocking. I wasn't prepared for that. The total emotional letdown that I had, just crying and sobbing, and it was.
You talking about Jamie?
No, Stephanie. When I saw Stephanie born. Mm-hmm.
Well, Damien's older.
Right, but I didn't see him born.
Oh, okay.
So, what was yours? What was your, if you could hold on to one moment?
Wow. It takes a lot of thought. I don't know if I could answer that right off.
Just bring it, whatever comes to mind.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Huh?
It doesn't have to be super specific.
Right.
Or can even be small. It could be you eating some food, and that was very important.
Or your childhood?
Probably my first male teacher in school comes to mind. I don't know. It was very impressive for me to see a man in that role, because it usually was women. And he was quite a... I think it challenged my idea about what men were at that time.
How old were you?
Well, it was in my sixth grade, so that would have been... What would that have been? 12 or 13, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Could you both just state for the record, like, when you both were born, just in case?
Okay.
Like, the year you were born, at least.
Okay, I was born in 1950, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're both born, I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and you were in Olney, Illinois, which is near St. Louis. Is that what you want?
Yeah. Also, I don't know if this is a question on here, but what was your childhood like growing up, like early on?
I was an only child and somewhat spoiled, probably. I got a lot of things I wanted.
Like
to share with siblings.
Like what did you get that other kids didn't get who maybe had siblings?
Well, we weren't rich, and since there was only one of me, I got a lot of things that maybe some of my cousins would not have gotten who had larger families. Just being that time of... As I said, none of our family were rich. They were working class people who had come off the farms and moved up to the city to try to better their lives, kind of like you have with the Mexican-American population comes to this country.
What did your family do on the farms?
Pick cotton. It was a big thing.
In Arkansas?
Yeah. Sharecroppers. Yeah.
And Grandma, what was your childhood like?
I had two brothers. I was the oldest, but I didn't have any aunts or uncles or cousins because both my parents were only children. So I was the oldest of the three, and kind of it was a little harder than I think yours was. In the birth, I wasn't spoiled. My mom spoiled my brothers, and so I was like, I had a little harder time than that, but still pretty easy compared to some other people.
What did your parents?
My father was a radio professional, and my mother was a homemaker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about your parents or parents?
Both. Mom worked in a factory situation where she made the windings for electrical motors. Mm-hmm. Dad had various and sundry jobs, sales being the most prominent thing. He sold life insurance, soda, and did pretty well for someone who never got out of grade school.
Mm.
Yeah, both of them. Mm-hmm. Neither of my parents ever got any further than probably 7th, 8th grade education, at the most, mm-hmm. if they went that far.
And we talked a little bit about this at dinner, but what was it like for your mom to be working a lot?
Mom was quite effective during the World War. She was quite successful working in a factory situation. And even after the war, she was able to maintain her job. Even when the men came back from World War II, they kept her on. And she worked at that until the company moved out to the South to get cheaper labor. And she could have gone there and been part of that, but she chose not to. And so essentially she retired at that time. They did open up a couple taverns for a while, and she worked at that. But that was her working career.
And just kind of like a final thought on that, we kind of talked about it at dinner, but uh-huh. what would you say is, like, was it hard having her working? Like you said, it was kind of like a certain...
Well, as we discussed a little earlier, I found it kind of rough that Mom had to go to work when most of my friends, their mothers, stayed home and were the typical housewife type situations. But I've come to realize that she was pretty, innovative for her time.
She's
being
ahead
a woman
of the time.
In the workforce. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And when she lost her job, it kind of was hard for her.
And it was a rough time in her life. It was. And she subsequently had some mental health issues and had another child. After I was already out of the household, she had a child.
She was 45.
Something like that. And there may have been some issues with that contributing to her mental health issues, too.
Mm-hmm.
She never recovered from that.
No, not really. Yeah, until her death.
Because when I met her, I met her in 1973, and she was mentally ill then.
Mm-hmm.
She was very psychotic, and I never knew her when she wasn't psychotic.
She died in 2005.
Mm-hmm. So I knew her for about 20-plus years, and she was always hearing voices and very mm-hmm. paranoid.
Right.
Right. So, and I miss that, not having ever been able to meet her as what you describe as a really interesting lady.
Switching a little bit over to you, you said your dad did radio work.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain who he is, like specifically what he did, like his name?
When he graduated with a degree from Notre Dame in journalism, he went to work in a radio station in a small town in Illinois. And that was his hometown. And then from there, that was close enough to St. Louis that he heard about a job opening at CBS Radio in St. Louis, and he interviewed for it, and he got it. And he was very famous in St. Louis in the 1950s because he had the nighttime show from midnight till 6 a.m., and they called him the Night Mayor of St. Louis. Because everybody listened to him all night long, and he was very famous at the time, and kind of a big deal when I was growing up. Everybody knew him.
And what was his name?
Jim Butler. Yeah.
Okay.
So. And if you don't know the name of Bob Costas, but he's a very famous radio, TV personality, and my dad trained him to do the job he did. And when my dad died, Bob Costas gave his memorial speech saying that he was the most influential person in his life. So that was very cool. So,
What would you say it was difficult at all having him be kind of a major person in St. Louis, or at least in the Midwest? Like, was that ever difficult for you, or was like there perks to it that you enjoy, or like things like that? Like,
that's a very good question. I got to go to a lot of special things, like the movie West Side Story. When it opened in the 1960s, he was invited to the grand opening, and I got to be his date to go to that. So it was like very red carpet, and we were very big deals. And I got some acting roles in plays because he was famous, and I was an actress when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure I got some special things, and I used to go to the Ice Capades and everything like that. We had front row seats because he was a very famous person. But on the other hand, he wasn't home much because he was gone at night, and then he would sleep all day. So when I was home, I don't really know my dad because he wasn't around much.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big star, but he wasn't somebody who could be at home. So there's, as you say, benefits to that, but also some losses.
Would you say then because of that, because he was at home a lot, did you have maybe a stronger relationship with your mom? It's okay if you didn't, but...
My mom probably took out a lot of her anger about that on me. And so we had a pretty stressful relationship. And she, I think she was sad and angry that he had this relationship with the public and not at home. So I got, it was more difficult for me because she wasn't a happy person.
Very fair.
So.
What did you do? So that's kind of like main life, childhood, going a little bit more specific into like what you guys did. What were some things you guys did like growing up, like hobbies? You said acting.
A parent at 18, and five children by the time I was 24. And
Before that, you were in baseball and football.
Yeah, a little Corey League, nothing,
But that was your hobby.
As a child, focus was, trying to somehow, deal with it, having a family situation, which I wasn't that great at dealing with that, but that took up a lot of the energy I had. Work situation, did a lot of different things. Had a small business for about 12 years. Delivered newspapers. Then I worked in aerospace. F-4 Phantom Jet production during the Vietnam conflict. And then I went back and went into nursing and finished up my career with that. So I was about 38 years of being in nursing.
Why didn't you serve in Vietnam?
Because we had children. They weren't taking men who had, I think it was two children. I think they would take one who had one, but they never went up beyond that. You were excluded from the...
Do you wish you served in Vietnam?
No. I probably wouldn't have fared too well in that situation in military, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, too. Mm-hmm. What would you say it was like, and this is kind of like for both of you to answer if you'd like, not optional, but you both had children with two other people at I guess in this time would be considered younger ages. So how would you say that was, like, still growing up yourself and then having kids, and how that was like? So
I wouldn't recommend it. you know, looking back on it now, it's hard to be a parent when you're a child.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I ever really dealt with that too successfully.
I think the kids suffered, that the children we had when we were very young didn't get enough of our wisdom. We had no wisdom at that age. We were just, we didn't know what we were doing. And it was, I think, sad for them. But I remember being sad a lot when I was that age. You know, I got married at 15. Your age, Audrey.
And who did you...
15. And, you know, it's just, I had to drop out of school, and I can remember being very, I wouldn't say depressed, I just felt like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good, as good as other people, and I never felt like I was smart enough or good enough. But then when I went back and got my high school diploma and went on to college and went on and got my master's degree and taught in junior college, you know, later on I could... But the family that I had then, I don't think I gave enough attention to.
Would you say you had any similar kind of issues? You kind of touched on it a little bit. But
a little bit, yeah. And, you know, as I said, I think it's, you feel a responsibility, but then you get to resent that responsibility of having to be responsible for so many kids and things like that. Of course, I'm the one that fathered them, so I mean, I have to take some responsibility for that. But,
so resentful means you felt anger?
I don't know if I'd call it anger, but disappointment that I got in that position. Yeah.
Do you feel disappointed now?
No, I there's been some benefits to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a relatively young grandfather, and that's kind of nice, you know.
Running in the marathon with all these kids and grandkids, because we're young enough to do some fun things with them. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit more.
Oh, we're going to have more? I thought we were done.
No, we're talking. Yeah, no. You're giving good insight. So when would you say you both met, and like what time period that was that you guys met as well? Like what was happening then, like current event-wise, if that makes sense? Like what was happening then, and then when you guys met, and how you guys met?
You going in
my... It was 1972. It was during the time when the Vietnam War was still going on. We were both going to school. I was...
nursing school.
Nursing school, right.
We were
I was 20-ish, 21, and you were 28, 29.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know each other. We were both in the same program. And he was separated from his wife, and I was having a lot of marital problems at the time and getting ready to separate. And we just saw each other out in the parking lot because I went to the wrong car. We both had the same Volkswagen, 1967 baby blue Volkswagen, and I went and tried to open his car, and my key wasn't working. And he said, "Hello, can I help you?" I said, "My key isn't working." He said, "Well, it's because it's my car."
Yeah.
So we found out we were in the same program, and just kind of.
And why nursing for both of you?
Well, you're really getting into a deal here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not far. We want to go into.
Oh,
that.
Go shit quickly.
Yeah, you
did. I served some time in being incarcerated for a misdemeanor, driving without a valid driver's license, times two, and. So they penalized
me
by putting me into a county jail, essentially is what it was, and I spent 7 weeks there. And during that time, I met this one gentleman who we became friends, and after I got out, I met his wife, who was a registered nurse, and she's the one that said, "Oh, why don't you ever think about going into nursing?" Well, there weren't many male nurses at that back in that time. But that's what started the whole process. And at one point I worked in a railroad hospital before I went into nursing as an orderly, which is like, you know, bedside nursing for people who aren't trained.
Yeah.
You know, we did things like bedpans and helping people with that sort of thing. We did postmortem, take the bodies down to the morgue when someone would die and have to do procedures for how you, you know, you have to tie the hands together and things like that. So that's kind of where that kind of got started with that. And then so I went into nursing when, you know.
There were so few men in nursing then, they didn't let him go to the same dormitory that the women were in. There were only 3 men in your class, right? And 100
Actually,
men.
There was only 2.
And 100 women.
And there was a gentleman who was in the year before me. This is back in what they call diploma programs.
Mm-hmm.
And these are hospital-based programs. They weren't college-educated. And so I was only the second class they ever had a male in.
They didn't know what to do with him.
And they didn't know what to do with him. I have dropped out of that.
Because they were so mean to him.
Oh, I don't know that. I think my immaturity was probably a bigger issue. But then when I went back to a JC.
Mm-hmm. Junior college.
That's where we met. And I did complete that program, of course.
And now you have your bachelor's degree, too.
And then I got my bachelor's after many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the question? How did I ever get to where I'm at?
Yeah. And then, Grandma, how did you get into
I got into nursing because my first husband had kidney failure. And I had to do his dialysis. We did it at home. And I was only 17 when I did that. So it felt like, well, I know how to do this. I might as well be a real nurse. I found out they made a lot of money at the time, and I thought, well, that sounds like something I want to do, so just went into it.
Yeah, I mean, that works.
Yep.
So, let's see, you first went in, what was it, 1972?
We graduated from nursing school in 1973, and we got married in 1974.
And 3 days later, we had a baby.
No, 2 years. Your mother was born on August 27th, and we were married on August 24th. But we were married 2 years before we had her. But she always thought, since we celebrated our anniversary on the 24th of August, and her birthday was only 3 days later, she thought we got married.
Oh.
They got married, and 3 days later, I was born. That wasn't.
Not a big deal. But in 1976, that was probably
right. It didn't happen that way. It was 2 years. We very much wanted to have your mother. We tried. I mean, she was the only kid that we all, that, like, we planned out of all 7 of the kids. So.
Yeah. And how would you say, because then you both were nurses, and then you have, now 6 kids in total, and then
7.
Well, then together you had 1,
right,
making 7.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you say that was dealing with, like, a bigger family from, like, the, what, 70s to now, really? How was that? Was there any?
I think it was hardest on my daughter from my first marriage. She was an only child, and he had 5 kids. So I had 1, and he had 5. And so she being brought into the family, I don't think she felt integrated well. They were all kind of very close, and she wasn't. And I think, I know from talking with her, that that was very hard for her. And she had a lot of problems because of that, that she felt she didn't know where she fit in. So that was challenging. But
yeah. Anything with your children? If not, it's okay. Do they have any issues with that change?
Well, I think any kind of a divorce and upsets kids, you know, at best. It's chaotic and can be, and you can probably relate to that yourself. But hey, all in all,
they all talk to us now. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Somehow.
There were some times they didn't. We had some issues, but everybody loves us and talks to us now, and that's a blessing.
Yeah. And we talked about emotional issues and emotional tolls, but were there any, in a sense, like, economical issues between having seven kids and then plus you two? Like, are there ever times where it's like,
that's a beautiful question, and I think for you that affected you more than anything. When we first met, he had three jobs. He would get up at 3 in the morning and do his paper route. And then at 7 in the morning, he would go to nursing school all day, classes. And then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he would work until midnight at the hospital. So he had three jobs trying to make ends meet for many years. And it kept you away from home, too, right? So economically, it was a real challenge to have. You had five kids and I had one. And then we got together and we had, it was challenging. And then paying child support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, so it was stressful. But, and we never quite had enough money to go around, but we made it through. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Question, but yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I guess that's a good question. So you didn't both of you didn't like originate here in California or in Sacramento for that matter. So when did you come?
How did we get here?
Mm-hmm. And have you always stayed? Like, did you remain in Sacramento once you came, or was there ever a time that you moved somewhere else and then came back, or those types of things?
Well, we came out here principally because the five children, not all of them, but three of them, wasn't it?
Four.
Three or four.
Three.
Came with their mother.
His first one.
Out here. She was trying to go to graduate school. Well, she did go to graduate school here at Sac State.
Mm-hmm.
To get her master's degree in social work. So they came along with her, and then we... about that same time, my stepfather died at a very young age. He was 53 when he died. And I think that kind of set in motion this idea, well, you know, life is short. People do die, and we can't just sit around, not be around the kids all the time. So we moved out here to be a little closer to
be closer to the kids from his first marriage.
Yeah. And other than we stayed here 1 year, thought we were homesick, moved back there, and then decided no, we want to be back here. So we, other than a 1 year hiatus when we moved back there for, as I said, a year, we've been out here ever since.
And your mom was born in St. Louis, and then she moved out here when she was only 3, and then we moved her back when she was almost 5, and then we moved her back here when she was 6. So she ended up kind of being back and forth like a yo-yo kid, but
yeah.
So.
And kind of transitioning to talking about my mother, because she's
sitting here.
Yeah, well, she is sitting here, but she is also like, she's the one child you both had together, but also just I'm related to her very closely. So, what would you say is some things about her, like growing up, that you noticed, like? Interesting thing. If I can, like, it's kind of odd to phrase it in this way, but, like, what were some things about her that you noticed like, growing up? Like, it could involve, like, hobbies she had, or things she did with you guys, or, like,
She was a television baby. She was raised, because we were both working a lot of evenings and nights and things like that, and she had a lot of siblings. She was raised, she was what's called a latchkey kid. And she raised herself in some ways, and then she also had brothers and sisters who raised her, and the television raised her. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is your mother's major babysitter. Sesame Street, some of those things, that and because we weren't around. Because, again, we had all these kids. We had to work a lot. Both of us had to work. And so we weren't around. So, and she was...
They were 10 years apart.
Yes, and the young... They were all older. She was 10 years... She was... She was 10 years younger than even the youngest of the kids. So they were all older, and they were all doing their own thing by that time. So she was the baby, and they'd say, oh, just ignore her. She's fine. She's got no problems. She can take care of herself. And she did. She took really good care of herself. But it would have been nice if we'd been, like, I would have liked to have been around more for her, too. But, again, you got to make money, and you got to have kids around to take care of your kids. So.
Yeah.
And she loved... She had friends, and they used to do a lot of things around the neighborhood and wander around. And she had some good opportunities to kind of connect with some different experiences. But mostly, she kind of raised herself. So
that happened.
And then she was a dancer, so we used to take her to dance a lot. And she was like our puppy dog. We just take her everywhere. We never left her at home. Whenever we were home, we'd just take her, put her in the car, and she just went with us. But she was always kind of peaceful and quiet and just went with us and hung out. So.
Remember we made a couple of trips back to the East Coast when we were in St. Louis with her? And
she'd always be in the car with us.
Up in front of your foot.
When your mom was a little baby, we used to keep her in a little bassinet, and we just keep her in the car in the front seat underneath the dashboard. They didn't have seat belts in those days, and we would just keep her there. We just took her everywhere with us. And they didn't have car seats or anything like that. She just
very
she
safe.
Yeah, right.
So safe.
Right.
Let me see.
And we met your dad when he was only 15 years old, so we knew him when he was very young, too. So
he even stayed here for a short period of time, wasn't
he? He lived with us here in this house.
We're talking
about
maybe a month. It wasn't very long.
Yeah, right.
When he and his mother were having some friction.
Yeah.
When your other grandparents were separated for a while. He didn't want to live with either one of them, so he came here to live with us.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? He kind of considered us more stable, I think, at the time. And one of the happiest days we had was when your mom and your dad, we went down to Santa Clarita, and they said, we were going to go visit you. And they said, let's go out to dinner. And they weren't married at the time. And they said, we went to the Elephant Bar. That was the name of the restaurant. And they said, well, we're pregnant. Oh, I can remember that. Oh, my God.
Very exciting.
We were so happy.
Ta-da.
So here you are. And then shortly after you had the perfect sister.
Yeah.
The perfect sister for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much.
And, I mean, since we were going to also transition into this as well, and we have a few more minutes left, you have kids. You have some kids, so that's a lot of grandchildren. How many grandchildren?
17 grandchildren and one great-grandchild.
And what would you say, are you close with any of your grandchildren? And also, like, how often are you, like, were you involved with them? Because, again, you just kind of mentioned that you're younger for being grandparents, so.
And some a little closer than others, that's for sure. You know?
Yeah.
Some we don't see too much of. But
we've been able to have a lot of our kids have moved back and then moved out again. So of our 7 kids, 6 of them have moved back in here at one time or another. And those, I think, were closer to. A couple of our grandkids lived here for 2 or 3 years, and then a couple others for 4 or 5 years. So I think those are the grandkids that we're a little closer to.
Mm-hmm.
But they all seem to be a part of our lives. They'll call us and text us and ask us to meet up with them for this or that, and it's a beautiful thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our oldest one is, what, 38?
Dingy.
36. Yeah. So, and they go all the way down to 12.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you have a mosquito biter sweater, Grandma. Do you want to?
Yeah. No, eat it.
So what are, this is more about you guys, but what are some of your passions now? Because I know, like, you're both retired, so, like, what do you do kind of with some of your free time? What do you like?
Well, you know, I'm not busybody like your grandmother, right? But... So I'm pretty laid back, you know, as far as what I like to do. A little run, a little bike, a little...
yoga.
Some yoga.
You do 3 days a week of yoga.
No, 2 to 3, yeah,
mm-hmm.
A week. Yeah.
And you have friends you run with and running group, and then, like, we're running tomorrow morning. We have to get to bed now so we can get up in the morning and go run. Tap dancing.
Yeah.
But spending a lot of time and energy with wonderful grandkids and
dancing.
Oh, we go dancing. In fact, we didn't go dancing on Sunday. We meant to, but we didn't go. But wouldn't you say once a month they go out dancing?
It's about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Biking, a lot of biking vacations, and a lot of, we just got back from, we went on a biking vacation just 5 months ago, and then we went on a running vacation last month, and we're very lucky. We like to do a lot of traveling, right?
Some travel.
You're cutting back, and I'm planning our next one.
Yeah, that's good.
Right.
And
what?
Theater.
Oh, we go to a lot of theater. Right, we do theater, ballet. We go see ballet a lot. Not only yours, but other ballet too. So
yeah,
we really like, and you like, enjoy theater,
yeah.
Ballet.
And this is kind of like my final question. Kind
good.
Of an odd
oh,
question.
Good.
I know it's been so hard, so difficult.
We only have 7 minutes, so.
Hey, that's fine. This is kind of an odd question to end on, but you both, I would say, from my viewpoint, you two are both very athletic for your age, and I think generally people would assume that people your age would not be, or they would slowly be doing less and less, being less, like, movement. So what would you kind of say about, like, that, maybe in your age group, seeing, like, depending on who you're around in your community, like, do you see that more people being like you, getting out and trying to, like, do more things, like, athletically?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you see other people who are, like, on that path? Like, just kind of that. It's kind of an up-in-the-air question. But.
Well, I think you see the whole spectrum. There's people I run with who are even older than I am. You know, I run with 80-year-olds, and they're quite active. And,
mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you go all the way to the other end where people are, you know, bedridden. But yeah.
I think one thing, and that brings up a very good question. When we first got together, you were 29, and I was 22, but you were very active. I can remember you doing push-ups every day, and nobody was doing that in those days. Nobody was doing that kind of exercise. And he used to enjoy getting out and doing exercise when nobody was doing that. And he kind of got me into that rhythm, and I think... As much as you've known me, haven't I always exercised every day in front of the newspaper or in front of the television? So both of us have always kept up with exercise.
So you're saying it's more of a habit.
That's it. And we used to bicycle to work instead of drive to work. And we used to, you know, run on weekends. So we started very young. I started running when I was 29. And you started when you were in your early 30s, mid-30s. Mm-hmm. And then biking to work and all that. So we've just kept it up. We've never not had exercise as part of our life. So I think that's kept us active. No?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, okay. This has just been asked by Mia's mom because she thinks this is a funny question to ask, but I don't know. We're going to ask it anyway. So what do you think of the term okay boomer, especially since
well, that's current
day. Yeah,
current day.
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
So, I mean...
Do you know what that refers to? Is that Australian...
Well, they say it everywhere now.
Yeah,
right.
They do.
But
it's a put-down for baby boomers.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
I mean...
You screwed up our world, so
yeah.
Okay, boomer, it's not really your decision to make anymore.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're both around that age, but, Grandma, you're definitely in the generation of baby boomers. So,
mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it's funny... You used to say, even 30 or 40 years ago, there's going to come a time when the next generation is going to be really pissed off at us, and there's going to be almost a generational war. Remember, you used
mm-hmm.
to say that?
Yeah.
And I think that's coming true, that we have screwed things up relative to the environment. We've had a lot of opportunities that your generation will not. A lot of free love. We didn't have the same kinds of things going on, the freedom to make a lot of choices, freedom to buy houses, freedom to do a lot of things. And we took advantage of that without thinking at the time that it would end for your generation or whoever. So I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me. In fact, I kind of get it. It's like, yeah, we should be held accountable. So what about you?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Things will be a lot different than what we've had. But that's probably the way it's always been anyway. But this is probably one of the first generation, what they say, where you won't be as well off financially as previous generations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's one reason we do try to contribute to the two of you and financially help as much as we can, because we realize that we are better off than your generation. So if we can help, we feel it's our duty, right?
Mm-hmm. More so for her. She's a softie here. Yeah.
You go along with it. So.
Yeah, but I think
oh my gosh, I can't believe we used up all that time. I thought we were going to do 10 minutes.
All right.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh.
Where'd you come up with the question?
She made them up.
Sure.